So on absolutely every level, this is a failure. This isn't a question of, well, you know, there's something good here, there's something bad, let's weigh the positives and the negatives and decide and have a debate. On every single objective measure, it's failed. It hasn't even succeeded on one of them. Like, there is literally no good that has come out of these policies at all. This is one of the most insanely stupid policies of a government in a generation, I think. Like, literally, it is causing death. It is causing destruction. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit worked up. But this is a policy that is leading essentially to the mass preventable deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. And governments seem to just keep making it worse.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast Vaping Unplugged. As you know, we discuss everything about tobacco harm reduction globally, everything about vaping and less harmful nicotine alternatives around the world. And today I'm joined by Tim Andrews, the Director of Consumer Issues at the Thales Foundation. And right now, Tim is representing Prohibition Doesn't Work campaign, and that's the campaign that we will be talking about, and I think it's going to be very interesting for the whole THR community, very exciting, a new project. Thank you, Tim, for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's great to be here with you.
Absolutely, we love that. Tim, let us just start quickly by your introduction, even though I introduced you briefly. I'm sure there are other things that our listeners would like to know about you and your work, so maybe you could tell us a little bit how you ended up in the tobacco harm reduction field generally, and what's your journey?
Absolutely. So as I'm Director of Consumer Research at the Tholos Foundation, which is the sort of international and research arm of Americans for Tax Reform, where I'm also Director of Consumer Issues. And I work extensively on harm reduction issues here, giving consumers the right to quit smoking through proven safer alternatives. Before that, I was with the Australian Taxpayers Alliance, and that's where my journey in harm reduction actually began. And I remember many years ago, I first got into this purely as an intellectual exercise. It was, you know, people should have the right to do something. It doesn't harm them. Government shouldn't ban it. But the more I got into it and the more I started speaking to people who quit smoking through vaping, the more passionate I ended up becoming. Like, I remember this was many years ago, speaking to this elderly woman who was telling me she wasn't able to get out of bed without sort of coughing up sort of this black mucus for half an hour. Made the switch from smoking to vaping. And within 6 months, she actually ran like a half marathon. Like, how powerfully her health was just transformed. And the more I spoke to consumers, the more I started learning about this and hearing their testimony, the more I realized this is a really important moral question. Like, this wasn't just the intellectual sort of libertarian free market thing I initially thought about. This was something that has the power to save lives. And not just one or two lives, millions of lives all over the world. And so I became really passionate about this back in Australia. I founded Legalize Vaping Australia. Sadly, vaping is still not particularly legal in Australia, which we can discuss later. So I founded Legalize Vaping Australia. A few years later, I moved to the US, but still really wanted to be in this issue because it's not just a sort of abstract political question. It's a deeply profound moral question for me.
Very interesting, and thank you so much for sharing your story. And it seems like you're building more and more to it. And now I want you to talk a little bit about the Prohibition Doesn't Work campaign. I checked the website, I checked the platform, and obviously I highly recommend to everyone who's listening to check it out, and we're going to have it in the description for sure, so it's going to be an easy way for you to go there. But could you tell us a little bit about the campaign?
Sure. So there are so many international groups out there talking about, for instance, the science. And I mean, the science is pretty much settled. We know that vaping is 95% less harmful than smoking. The science is essentially settled, but a lot of groups are out there talking about the science. We have other great organizations focusing on the consumer choice angle, like the amazing job that World Vapor Alliance does. And if you don't follow World Vapors Alliance, although I'm assuming you do, if you're watching this, but if you're coming about this somewhere else, please do follow World Vaping Alliance as well for the great work you do. But that focusing on the consumer angle, that what we thought was sort of missing was I was focusing on my Australian experience, where the horrific tales of what's happened with prohibition in terms of crime, the black market, and those sorts of things. No organization was really focusing on that particular angle. And I noticed here in the US, very often when I would speak to state lawmakers, you'll tell them about the science, you'll tell them about consumer rights, you'll tell them about health and saving lives. And unfortunately, a lot of politicians just didn't care. They didn't care about the science or saving lives or evidence or facts. But as soon as we started talking about what it will cost in terms of tax dollars, what it will mean in terms of crime, the bottom dollar things, that's what they started getting interested in. And that's how we were able to defeat state prohibitions and those sorts of things. So what we decided with this campaign is to focus not on the scientific arguments, because lots of great other organizations doing that, not on the consumer choice angle, because lots of other great organizations like yours are really focusing on that, but actually focus on the negative effects of prohibition. So focus on what it means for black markets, for crime, for lost tax revenue. And yes, we'll talk about what it means for more people smoking and dying as a result. But our goal really isn't to get into the sort of science of it and to quote Royal College of Physicians, quote Cochrane, quote all of that, because all these other groups are doing that, but do unique new research on the effects of prohibition. So that's why we started to come up, we came up with this campaign. It's a coalition of international think tanks. We have think tanks all over the world who are partners of Prohibition Doesn't Work. We have partners in United Kingdom, in Poland, in Brazil, in Australia. We've got about a dozen partners. We hope other organizations will be joining soon. So that's really the goal. So it's not just, you know, a Tholos Foundation project. It's a true international collaboration on these issues.
Yeah, I think it's so important to talk about illicit trade and black markets that emerge because of the counterproductive policies that many countries are endorsing right now, because usually it's even somehow ironic to see, but the way policymakers want to tackle black market is through more restrictions rather than seeing the problem in prohibitionism. So, you know, maybe before we talk about the prohibitionism in THR, you could just tell us about the nature of prohibitionism generally and if it has failed in different cases, because I think that's always relevant to learn from the history.
I mean, the classic case is, think about what happened when the United States banned alcohol. Like, alcohol prohibition is the classic case of the absolute failure of prohibition. You saw crime, you saw the mafia, you saw killings. Like, everybody remembers the gangster movies that we've all seen about that time. The massacres, the huge crime, because people wanted a product and you can't just prohibit it. Like, if there is consumer demand, supply will always come. And what we're seeing now in many countries is that exact same thing happening of into criminal syndicates getting into it. We can talk about Australia, you know, maybe one of your future questions. But now, in terms of the illicit tobacco and vaping trade in Australia, we've seen 250 firebombings. Like, 250 shops have been burnt down because of the illicit tobacco wars. We've seen multiple people killed. Like, targeted assassinations because of this issue. This is exactly what the lesson of history is. You've seen innocent people killed. There was a woman who was completely innocent killed. It was a mistake in Australia. This was the case of mistaken identity. Her killing was ordered by someone in Iraq. Like, the Australian Federal Police have come down about this. Someone in Iraq runs an international smuggling group of tobacco and vapes in Australia and ordered this killing, which happened to be mistaken identity. This is how big the problem is. And we've seen this in history. Again, alcohol is probably the classic case. There are lots of other cases as well. You can see now the United States is legalizing other products that were previously illegal because of the failures of prohibition. It doesn't work. Like, it does never work where it's been tried. We're repeating the mistakes of the past that we've made again and again and again. And as you've said, the response at the moment has been, prohibition has failed, let's prohibit it even more. Like, the Australian government has introduced bans on vaping about six times now. It's like, oh, the ban has failed, let's ban even harder. Oh, it still failed, let's just try even harder. And it keeps failing and failing with disastrous consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I worked on some of the consultations that the Australian different institutions are publishing, usually when they're coming up with new regulations on vaping in this case. So since you already mentioned Australia, and it probably is one of the worst examples of how you can mess it up with prohibitionism, maybe you could tell us, because I also read on your platform you were comparing Brazil and Australia, and Brazil is also very restrictive when it comes to vaping, and there is also a huge illicit trade. So since we have this like examples of Australia and Brazil, maybe we could dive into it a little bit, you know, talk about what is going wrong in those countries and what could be improved.
Sure. Well, it's very simple how to improve it. Make it legal. The thing is, so in Australia, it's not a technical prohibition. You can go to the doctor, wait to see a doctor, pay to see the doctor or bill a taxpayer, get a prescription, go to a pharmacy, if a pharmacy sells these products, and most of them don't, and get a prescription. And nobody does this, right? Like 1 or 2% of the market in Australia is legal. So this isn't a question of, so what we have to remember is that technical, you know, Australia, there is a prohibition, but in reality it is. Very simple solution, legalize it. And the same in Brazil. And in both of these, in Brazil there is a blanket ban on e-cigarettes. And I mean, these e-cigarettes aren't the only category of reduced risk products. We can talk later about Germany and nicotine pouches. But what we've seen in Australia and in Brazil is not just a flatlining in smoking rates, but in Brazil, smoking rates have gone up. Because people don't have a legal proven method to quit. And so smoking rates have gone up, and you still see a huge surge of the black market. And what you know with the black market is there's no product regulation, there's no standards. You don't necessarily know what you're getting. So there have been tests in Brazil where you have seen potentially damaging additives that if you had a legal market wouldn't be there, because you have product standards and guidelines. So there are health risks in Brazil, probably still fewer than smoking, but you won't have those sort of components that are manufactured to a high standard. And you also won't have the ingredients that go in the manufacture to a high standard. So you can see in Brazil, where they have done these sort of analysis of some of these illicit products, all of these problems, not to mention politicians keep talking about, think of the children, we need to prevent youth access. Here's the thing, if you're selling illegal products, you're not going to be checking for ID in the first place. So, because you're engaged in a criminal enterprise. So ironically, by making it illegal, you reduce the checks and on people to make sure that they're of legal age to get these products. So it's really failing on absolutely everything. It's not only failing to stop youth access, it's making the problem worse by having an unregulated thing. It's not only failing to protect public health, it's making it worse by making people smoke more or moving into a system where we don't actually know what's in these products. It's not, and it's also not only solving a crime problem, it's creating one. Like in Latin America, there are huge drug cartels who have realized, hey, we can get into selling illicit vapes because the penalties aren't there. The money's just as good. And so all of the cartels in Latin America that people associate with horrific crimes, like absolutely horrific crimes, as well as engaging in sex trafficking, narcotics, all of those sorts of things, mass murders, are getting into the illicit vaping trade because they can make money. So we're effectively subsidizing these cartels. So on absolutely every level, this is a failure. This isn't a question of, well, you know, there's something good here, there's something bad, let's weigh the positives and the negatives and decide and have a debate. On every single objective measure, it's failed. It hasn't even succeeded on one of them. Like, there is literally no good that has come out of these policies at all. This is one of the most insanely stupid policies of a government in a generation, I think. Like, literally, it is causing death, it is causing destruction. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit worked up, but this is a policy that is leading essentially to the mass preventable deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, and governments seem to just keep making it worse.
You were talking about how dangerous the products can be when they are only accessible on black market, and only black market has this kind of benefit to sell those products. And when you think about Evalli case, which damaged the reputation of nicotine vaping a lot, that all of that happened just because of the fact that those vapes were from black market and they were containing THC and vitamin E acetate, right? And no one can actually regulate that, or no one can hold any business accountable for selling these vapes actually also to underage and minors. So we saw how dangerous that could be. Many people got damaged, and it's not the only case, like, obviously.
That's a classic case, because first of all, not a single case was because of nicotine vapes. It was because THC vapes that were black market, that were illicit, that were laced with vitamin E acetate. And that is what caused it. Like, we know this is the case, and you're absolutely right. This is 100% a case where if products were legal, none of this would have happened. And the consequences were, you know, obviously tragic for the individuals involved who perished or were severely injured by it. But because of complete misinformation by the members of the media and vested interest groups who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in trying to ban people, like some of the most morally bankrupt people, I think, on the planet right now, who are spending money just so that more people can die of smoking. Because of their misinformation, people are, you know, we're starting to have people wanting to prohibit products when prohibition caused it in the first place. Like, it's generally tragic.
It is, yes, and that's what we're trying to fight, but it's quite heavy. Like, you meet misinformation everywhere. It's not like an issue of one country. Like Brazil and Australia can be extreme examples in this sense, because we have more of a restrictive approaches. But for instance, on your platform, the readers can also learn what's the situation in Germany. I saw there was the latest piece, so maybe you could also tell us about that, because you also struggle to have a lot of misinformation in countries where vaping is legal, but it's not it's challenging, and it's getting more and more challenging for consumers to legally access those products, especially because policymakers are coming up with more and more, and they are misinformed as well. So more and more sort of misinformational, misleading discussions on why vaping should be banned. So what do you think about that? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about Germany too.
Sure. So, I mean, you're absolutely right again, because one of the problems is even if a product is legal, it could be so heavily regulated that consumers can't get the products they want. The reason vaping is so successful in helping smokers quit is it can be so individual. You can choose a flavor that makes you want to quit. So the vast majority of users who have successfully quit smoking or reduced their smoking through vaping have done so through fruit flavors, because they seem to enjoy them the most, and that's what helps them quit the most. And so governments say, well, we'll let that vaping be legal, but we're going to ban all fruit flavors. Like, you're banning the products that make that are the most effective. Why? There's no rational basis for this. You look at these sorts of the arguments used, and they're nonsensical. Or governments can want to tax them so high that people say, well, it's actually going to be cheaper smoking, or restrict them in such a way that they're legal, but you have to drive 45 minutes to a special licensed premises, go through all of these checks, when you can just walk down the street and buy cigarettes. And it's so inconvenient that while it's not technical prohibition, it de facto is. So you see all of these sort of death by a thousand cuts, prohibition by a thousand cuts, I should say, that while there isn't potentially legal prohibition, in effect it is. And I mean, the flavor bans are probably the worst, but there are so many other ones as well, like milligram limits, where it's proposed that people can't get vapes in a strength high enough to make them want to use them. Like, why would you vape if you don't get the nicotine hit? We know nicotine is essentially harmless, no more harmful than caffeine, really. It doesn't cause cancer, but it's highly addictive, but that's it. So why limit nicotine? Like, that makes no logical sense. In Germany, there's another issue, and I know Vapor's Alliance mainly focuses on vaping, but there are other products like nicotine pouches. But on the continuum of risk, nicotine pouches are the lowest of all of them. And I mean, they're cleaner and safer and a fewer additives than nicotine gums that doctors prescribe. That's on the World Health Organization's sort of essential medicines list. Like, nicotine pouches are more pure than that. And yet in Germany, they're banned. Why? Because they're defined as a food product, and food products can't contain high levels of nicotine. Like, the fact that nicotine pouches are defined as a food is nonsensical. Like, no one can justify the logic of that. And yet, because of that, they're banned in Germany. So what do you see? Germany still has the highest levels of smoking in Europe. People aren't quitting. And those who are using the smoking and quitting rates have flatlined. And other the people who do use them have to get them illegally, and with all of the problems that that causes. So this is an abject policy failure, because the thing about this is it is about choice, right? Like, some people quit through different ways. For some people, vaping is the best way to quit. For other people, it could be heat not burn, like in Japan. And you've seen for other people, it's products like snus. We found nicotine pouches actually work better in a lot of countries. It's what other people want. Particularly, we found like in Sweden, it's whereas men use snus, it's young women who have quit smoking through nicotine pouches, which is why they're and Sweden's on its essentially a smoke-free country now because of oral nicotine products. So the glory of the free market is we can tailor something to the individual user's preference. And so if governments want to say, first of all, let's just ban everything, that's terrible. But if they say, let's just have prohibition for this one category of products, or let's just have prohibition for not all vapes, but flavored vapes, that is still a huge policy failure, because you're taking away the choice of people to quit through the method that works best for them. And that supply will either come through the black market with all of those negative consequences, or people will just keep smoking and dying as a result.
You're absolutely right. And I think what your platform and also us will be doing is informing consumers and both policymakers about the counterproductiveness of this kind of restrictive approaches, and also what science really says. On our end, maybe this platform is not focusing on science, but you're right, there is enough science already. It's about changing the approach, and it's about endorsing what actually works pragmatically. So since we're slowly moving to the end of our interview, I'd like to ask you to maybe sum up your opinion, and also give a message to consumers and policymakers. I bet those two messages might be different from one another, but anyways, what do you think consumers can do to defend the products that help them quit smoking, and what should policymakers do to serve the best interest of consumers?
The most important thing consumers can do, of course, is to let policymakers know. Let them know that their vote depends on these issues. I mean, you can see behind there, we've got the I vape, I vote poster in this room, because that's an important thing. At the end of the day, a lot of policymakers care about, more than anything, about being reelected. And if they know their job depends on them supporting consumers, that makes it in their self-interest to support consumers. So I know World Vapors Alliance does a great job mobilizing consumers to contact their policymakers. But I think consumers should be aware that this actually does make a difference. We know 100% that bad laws have been prevented by enough consumers reaching out to policymakers. So even and a policymaker doesn't even need to accept the science or accept the evidence. All they need to know is their job depends on it. So the first thing for consumers to do is to make sure that, you know, when World Vapors Alliance puts something out, share it with their, or when we put something out, share it with their policymakers. So contact their local officials. But for politicians and policymakers, I would say, look at the evidence. And even if you're not convinced by the scientific evidence, which is so overwhelming, you should be, even if you're not convinced by individual liberty arguments, look at the practical, real-world effects of prohibition. This isn't a theoretical abstract. This isn't a scientific paper about biochemical markers in the body. This isn't about theory of liberty. look at the practical effect. Look at Australia, where there's been 250 firebombings and multiple assassinations. Look at Brazil, where the number of smoking rates has gone up. Look at Germany, where you have millions of Germans either using illicit products or not able to quit smoking. Look at the evidence that's on the ground. This is objective data that cannot be ignored. We have seen consistently throughout history, prohibition has failed. We now have seen it happening again. Accept reality. Don't respond to a failed policy with even more of a failed policy. Don't double down on this. Accept reality. Adopt progressive policy solutions that are based on evidence and consumer choice, and end prohibition. So that's my approach. You know, prohibition should be consigned to the dustbin of history. It should be a thing about movies set in the 1920s. It shouldn't be the tragic reality now. So accept reality, embrace evidence, end prohibition.
Thank you so much, Tim, first of all, for joining us and sharing your insights, for ending on such a high note. I definitely encourage everyone who is watching us to go to the website, Prohibition Doesn't Work, and check out the campaign and read, because there's already a lot of interesting content there, and I bet there will be even more coming out. So definitely follow the platform. It's worth a read. And thank you very much, team, for being with us today again.
Thank you so much.
Everyone who was listening to us, thank you so much. And stay tuned, because we will be back with another episode, as always.